When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose. By people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Deborah Rudell. She's a college professor in San Diego, California. Her first book, Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul, shares the story of her world unraveling when the leaders of her spiritual commune were exposed, arrested, and imprisoned for bioterrorism and attempted murder. After moving the family to various places, she ended up spending 5 years restoring a boat with her husband and set off on an adventure sailing across the Pacific to the Olympic Peninsula. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you, Hannah.
It's great to have you with us. And what an incredible story you have to tell.
Yes, it was an adventure.
Amazing. So take us back to this commune, if you can, first of all. How did you get to join a commune in the first place?
In the late 70s, my husband ended up going to Pune to be with Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, who is now known as Osho. And when he came back, it turned out that Bhagwan moved to the United States and made a commune in Oregon. And then the community called my husband and wanted him to come and be the dentist there. So he said he would come if I could come too, and they agreed. So that's how I ended up there.
And what was it like being part of that community?
It was an amazing experience because it was very altruistic, idealistic. A lot of people all got together, like thousands. There was 10,000 people there at its peak, and it was a full-blown city. It was set up like a kibbutz, so the men lived somewhere, the women lived in another section, and the children lived together. We only did our jobs. We didn't do cooking, cleaning, grocery shopping. There was no money. We didn't drive a car. We had a transit system. It was a very different kind of lifestyle.
Gosh, but did you get used to that different lifestyle quite quickly, or did it take a while?
It was quite a shock, actually, and we all grow up with a certain conditioning of a nuclear family and all the things I just mentioned with money and shopping and cooking. And those are just everyday things. Mm. And moving there, it took a bit. Now, when you're living in a certain conditioned way, it's not like you don't even know what you're conditioned to. And the example of that is the fish swimming in the ocean and one fish asks the other fish, how's the water? And the other fish say, what's water? You know, you don't really know what your world is until you change it upside down and you live in a different way. And in that way, your awareness of yourself and your responses in life become very much wider.
Mm.
So it's a growth situation. It's a very rich and rewarding situation, but it is challenging.
Yeah. Were there things that you missed about normal life that you found hardest to let go of?
The hardest thing was the children. You know, as a wife and a mother, you're used to kind of making a little nest and having your children and your husband nearby. And the contact was way, way less. Like, I'd see them at mealtimes. You know, like, it was very different. And that was hard for me. I missed my children and my husband.
Did you question when you were going through that whether it was the right thing to do? I mean, it must have felt so not just hard, but strange and wrong to be apart from your kids like that. I mean, did you feel like you were missing out?
I wouldn't say missing out. What I would say was that if I go back in my history a little bit, I had known since I was young, like 7 years old, and I had a grandmother who exposed me to the world of reincarnation, the world of karma, the world of I have a soul and an energy body, and the world is much bigger than what you can see and touch and taste and feel. And so my understanding of the world was that I wanted to do everything I could in this lifetime to grow and learn and expand, to bring more love here. And at the same time, there would be a cost to pay, and I was willing to pay it. So I kind of had that understanding already before I went there.
And how did the children get on growing up around other children and spending less time with you and your husband?
It was an interesting thing. My son was quite young. He was 5, and he just played and ran off and had a great time with his friends. My daughter was a little bit older. She was 11, and she had to leave her friends in Canada, and she had to leave her pony. And this was a big deal. And I appreciated it a little bit at the time, but in hindsight, I appreciated a lot more that was a very tough thing for her and that I, you know, exposed her to that. Both of the children, I can speak with them openly about it now. They have had successful lives. They're all grown up, and it's one of the adventures that they tell to their friends.
Nice. So they look back at it as a kind of fun anecdote.
Well, fun and serious.
Yeah.
It was serious. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what went wrong then with it?
Well, for the most of us that were living there, it was going along really fine. We were excited to be part of such a huge undertaking and looking at the big picture instead of our own individual little desires and wants. And then when all of a sudden the leadership left, the people that were in charge of running the community fled to Europe, and Bhagwan was arrested and deported. And this was a total shock. And this was in 1985. And all of us were like, what happened? We didn't really know the inside story until later. We didn't know that there was, you know, darkness and shadow and, you know, real bad things happening, like attempted murder and bioterrorism and wiretapping and all of those kind of things. And it just, you know, a few people were involved with that. And the rest of us were just like heartbroken that this idyllic city was not going to happen. And not only that, most of us were pretty disillusioned about a spiritual teacher and about a master and any kind of, you know, spiritual path.
Yeah, it must have been a real shock. I mean, do you look back on the experience and the setting and see as it more as a as a cult type situation, or do you still view it as a commune? Are they very different things, for example?
No, I use those words interchangeably, and cult has some really negative connotations, but generally anything that has a common ideology and people, you know, agree with it and join into it, that is like the definition of a cult.
Mm.
So there's lots of cult type things in our world. But yes, this was a cult, and I see that. And yet I wanted to participate because I saw the good that could come of it, the growth that could come of it. And not only that, the experiment in living together off the land sustainably without wrecking the earth, without climbing on each other to get to the top of a corporate ladder. You know, we were working together cooperatively to create something beautiful.
Yeah. And tell us then how the journey and your adventure changed completely as you got into boats.
Right. So my husband and I left the community and went back to a small town in Canada to actually reintegrate into society. And I was really happy doing that. That was an awesome thing. To have my own family back with me, to have my own house, my own things, a car, a dental office to run. It was wonderful. But my husband was so not happy. So when he heard about this old boat in Kauai, he got way excited and wanted to go do that. So we did that. And none of us knew anything about boats, but it was an adventure. It was supposed to be 6 months. And yes, it was 4 years. And we left in the fifth year.
And tell us about your time at sea then. What was that like?
Being at sea was really, really a strong experience with how powerful nature is, how small and insignificant we are truly. And there were times at sea, right in the first 3 days, I was in a gale and I thought I was going to die. I was sure the boat was going to sink. It was a very, very powerful experience. In that experience, I had a sort of a revelation or an out of body thing or a hallucination, however people want to call it. To help me get through that, I was so terrified that, you know, my breathing and my meditation practices didn't help me. Pitch black, huge winds, roaring noise everywhere. And all of a sudden, I started seeing like or imagining I saw little things on the rail, and they were just having fun. And they explained to me that the elements were just having fun. This was how the elements work. The wind and the sea work like this. They play. And it's so big compared to how we are that it's terrifying. But having that kind of little vision helped me so much to really just be there and keep breathing and get through till the dawn came and the daylight and the winds died down and we hadn't sunk and I hadn't drowned. So it was a helpful thing.
Yeah. And what about some of your best memories from being at sea?
My best, I would have to say, was landfall because, wow, I was the navigator. I'd never navigated before. And although I had taken courses with the Coast Guard, and to actually do it and actually find land, and it wasn't just anywhere on the west coast of North America, it was actually the Olympic Peninsula. So it was really exciting for that to happen. But the day that was really precious was the day that we woke up and we were sailing through all these purple iridescent bubbles floating on the ocean. And it was so surreal. It was like, what am I looking at? They were about 10 inches around, irregular shapes, and purple iridescent every 3 or 4 feet. And they went on for 3 days. There were 300 miles of these bubbles on the ocean.
Wow.
So these were the bladders for jellyfish, probably a form of Portuguese man of war. So these beautiful things had 6-foot tentacles that hung down below them. So while I was you know, we were sailing through this. I was just mesmerized by how beautiful it was. And at the same time, I knew that if anybody fell overboard, they would probably die from the stings from these very poisonous creatures. So it was a really amazing, amazing few days with the jellyfish.
Gosh, I bet you got some gorgeous photos.
No, because they didn't show up.
Oh,
the,
no.
The light on, it's like soap bubbles, except for very purple and clear. So the light shines through, and if it doesn't hit it just right, you don't actually see it that much.
Oh.
But in my mind, it's brilliant.
Yes. Oh, amazing. So when did you finish this trip? What have you been doing since?
So I ended up moving to California and going back to school and getting a degree in nutrition. And the healthcare sciences are important to me. It's a way to give back and be with people. And then now I'm teaching dental hygiene at a local college. And I find that really rewarding. I'm dealing with lots of different people from all different walks of life, all different cultures too. San Diego's very international. And I find my life very rich. And then, of course, I started writing. So I found this other part of myself that I feel blessed to have been able to have the time and the space to do this.
Yeah. I bet your students, I assume they know about your background. I bet they've got lots of questions for you, have they?
Well, actually, until the other night when the lab tech came in with my book, most of them had no idea I had written a book. So the lab tech went out there and showed them all my book, and they were all like, oh. So, yes, I will be having more questions now that they know. But it wasn't a secret. It's just we don't talk about our personal life, you know, when you're teaching a professional career.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure all the questions are to come then.
I think so.
Well, if people want to get a copy of Grit and Grace, The Transformation of a Ship and a Soul, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Deborah Rudell, who we've been chatting with today. Deborah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah, for having me.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.